BT, it's out back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here in a sec. 888-808-1019.
I got a quick question for you here. I got to be honest. I've gone back and forth. Now, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but if you guys have seen this out there on social media, there was some traction, apparently, and reportedly, between the Yanks and the Padres for Luis Arias. You did see this for a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And has since been, pretty much shot down where it doesn't seem as if the Yankees view him as a fit. Now, that doesn't mean the talks can't be rekindled. See, here's the thing about Arias, and I want your opinion. Like, to me, and this is where it becomes very interesting, because, you know, you talk about batting average, which clearly has become an antiquated measurement for statistical prowess, right? We all get that. We look at the OPS, we look at the on-base, blah, blah, blah. But can somebody explain to me how a guy who's going to roll out of bed and hit 325 with his eyes shut in front of Aaron Judge is a bad thing? I mean, I don't understand how that's not like a home run. I know he doesn't run. I know he's not a great fielder at all. The guy hits 325 every season.
Right, but I think that there are things that he does that if we watched him on an everyday basis, that might make us feel like we're watching a little bit of Gleyber Torres again.
Agreed, but Gleyber Torres doesn't even come close to hitting 325.
Correct. So I like batting average. I know that it's antiquated, and you're right, and we understand why, but I like batting average, and I think the Yankees, they need a leadoff hitter. They also need another infielder.
Yes.
So putting him in that lineup, he's going to get on base. He's going to hit over 300. And I think Yankee fans would like that because it's a little bit of a throwback, a guy who actually puts the bat on the ball and can hit for a high average and maybe balance out some of the other power guys that they have in that lineup, Judge, Stanton, Bellinger, and so on. I don't think it's the perfect fit, though. I think Bregman is the perfect fit for where the Yankees are at. I want well-rounded. I know you're going to have to pay more, but you pay for what you get what you pay for. Well-rounded ball player, good defensive third baseman. You get a good pitching staff now. A lot of ground balls.
Yeah, no, that matters.
Third.
I know.
You have Jazz at second. Like, think about the infield, and you don't need all-stars everywhere. But
I agree.
You just lost Juan Soto, and you're replacing him with Plan B, which has been very good. To me, it would be perfect and complete if you could get Bregman at third base. And I don't care if he's a little bit of a jerk. Like, I think sometimes
fine.
That could help. He's been proven in the postseason. Imagine the infield with Bregman, Volpe, Jazz, and Goldschmidt versus Arise at second base and Jazz at third.
That is not his natural position, Jazz over third base. The only thing that I would push back on, you say that you get what you pay for, and I certainly know what you mean, but I don't think that would apply to Bregman because Bregman's power numbers, what you would be paying, not that the Yankees don't, I mean, we know this. You don't think the Yankees know this? Obviously, everybody knows it, that the ability to transfer his power from the bandbox in left field in Houston to spacious left and left center field in Yankee Stadium, there's not going to be a transfer of power. So you'd be paying top freight and the numbers would be going down offensively, but the value catching the baseball and everything that played the Yankees in the World Series, that would be addressed.
And by the way, with Arise, I don't want to say the comp would be Jose Iglesias, but look at a guy like Iglesias. Now, he does other things, right? He runs hard, plays good defense, was a good energy guy, good clubhouse guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he hit for a high average and was just putting the ball in play. Remember, he was out of baseball for a long time.
He was in the minors
because
to start this year.
Believe in, out of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Because they didn't believe in his skill set. To your point about Arise, where he keeps bouncing around and seems to be devalued because he doesn't possess a lot of the skills. Like, the one thing he does well is the one tool that is devalued in Major League Baseball. Remember, these things are cyclical. Like, even now, the power, as you're seeing with Pete, is being devalued. Mm-hmm. Running backs in the NFL, they were devalued. Now, all of a sudden, there's going to be an uptick in that. So maybe at some point, people are going to start to get it back to that average. You saw it have, the Mets had success with it last year with Iglesias. Arise is better, obviously, a batting champion. Maybe it would work for it's worth a shot. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen. It's worth a shot if Bregman, they were definitely out on him, but I don't think they're going
to
do it.
And Gavin Lux was a name that they thought they were in on. He went to the Reds yesterday. If
but
you
I'd
guys
rather have
that.
Arise than him.
I would too. Gavin Lux hit about 250 with an OPS, whatever, and, you know, nominal power. I would take Arise as well. I mean, three straight batting titles, dude. I mean, 316, 354, 314. He is a very, you know, not to belabor, but he's just a very interesting player to analyze by today's standards because, you know, when we were growing up, Wade Boggs didn't hit with power and some other, Tony Gwynn didn't hit with power. You know, how many guys, I'm sure there's some, not many, but how many guys in baseball have had back-to-back years with over 200 hits? Well, Luis Arias has. Back then, Wade Boggs would always get 200. Yeah. Ichiro would get 200. Now, Ichiro could run as well. Tony Gwynn would always get 200. Maybe a few others like Molitor, whatever, Donnie when he was healthy. But for a guy who gets a lot of hits, he scored 83 runs last year, 71 runs the year before that, no power, never even attempts to steal. He's just an interesting case study against the modern analytics, but I don't know. And I love these numbers, and I embrace most of them. But if you can hit 315 or 320 in front of Aaron Judge, yeah. I don't know how that's not a good thing and you're 27 years of age.
That's the key. In front of Judge, you don't need him to get to second base. You need him on first base.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't need him to steal bases.
That's true.
You don't need just get on base, and you're going to score a ton of runs being on in front of Aaron Judge. And also, what are the alternatives? If it's not Arise, what is it? You'd rather Oswaldo?
Well, that's why.
Or that, DJ LeMahieu at third and Jazz at second?
Any situation that does not include, and Cabrera, I want him on the team, but I think he's a good, you know, 2-3 week a game player. I think he's got some positional versatility. Anything that includes either Cabrera or DJ starting next year is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
I'm glad you said that. I'm going to hold you to that.
No, please
it's the
do.
Same thing. It's been a couple
I will not
years
waver on
here.
That.
They need another move.
Unacceptable.
Let's get back to the phones here. Pete and Seaford wants to talk about the Knicks, BT. We mentioned it before. If you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. What's up with your Knicks, Pete?
Hey, guys. You know, the Knicks' biggest problem, first of all, I'm much more upset by the Bulls' loss than I am the Magic loss last night. Yeah, they're 12.5-point favorites. Tough loss. The Magic are going to throw you into a rugby pitch every time they play you, whether they're missing their top guys or not. And you know what? The Magic are coming. The Banchero's coming back. The Wagner brothers are coming back. Watch out for the Magic. Anyway, the Knicks' biggest problem right now is that Jalen Brunson is playing through a calf injury. He's 5 for his last 39 from three. And if you watch the last couple of games, he's not even trying. He's not even shooting, which means you know he has no lift on his shot right now. And he's dribbling into double teams. They were ignoring Precious Achiuwa last night down low. You know, if and when Mitch comes back, assuming he even comes back and isn't traded, he looks like a trade guy to me right now. And I've read that there are teams that are interested in him, even coming off the injury. The Knicks' biggest problem is Jalen Brunson. And I don't know, you know, Tibbs has gotten less stubborn over the years. You know, 12 years ago in Chicago, Tibbs would have played a six-man rotation for 35 games and gotten bounced in the first round. I think maybe we only get another few games of Cam Payne and Landry Shamet. I mean, I'm looking at this lineup last night. They are so small with Payne, Shamet, and Brunson going 1-2-3, just crazy small. I think Tyler Kolek and Dottier are just coming because – you know, hamstring injuries are tough. I don't know when McBride's going to be back. This knee injury for Towns is very concerning. It seems like a load management injury.
Right, but Pete, here's the thing, and you gave a lot of great stuff there, and we do appreciate your passion and your info on the Knicks. We love it. We'll talk much more Knicks after football season. We start to get ramped up for the postseason again. I had a lot of fun with that last year, BT. You and I talking Knicks postseason was great. I can't wait for that. Here's the key problem, though. Forget about the ancillary pieces, Kolek, Dottier, whatever it may be, Hardy, Shamet. He just said that the Knicks' biggest problem is Jalen Brunson's calf, or referencing Karl-Anthony Towns' knee. If anything happens to either of those two, the Knicks winning a championship is out the window.
I agree.
That's just how it is.
Yeah,
so like,
sure. How is that different for the Celtics or the Cavaliers with Donovan Mitchell?
Well, whatever. I mean, you know, maybe it's the
Luke
same thing.
Luke is hurt. That's over. Yeah. Kyrie Irving's out. Dallas is cooked. I mean, that's the way it goes.
Now, what that could lead to, though, is the minutes. And I feel like this is going to be the big theme the rest of the regular season when people start getting more locked in on the Knicks or they start becoming more of a focal point after football season. Because can Tibbs weigh, with this loaded group offensively and the talent that they have, can that still be rewarding come postseason time where it worked in the past? I don't know if you need to do that now. He's got to evolve and change, lay off the gas a little bit. Like, I respect it. I loved it.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the team to be grinding in the regular season.
I agree with you. You look at the standings right now, and no matter what happens, they're not catching the Cavaliers or the Celtics for the top two seeds, okay? So the reason why you keep your foot on the gas is, number one, if that's just your old-school nature and you don't know any other way, and that used to be Tibbs, he's evolved a bit to give him credit, or you're chasing a one seed because it is paramount that you have home court advantage. Now, listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't love that for that decisive game to be at the Garden, but it was at the Garden last year. They got whacked. Now they were also banged up. They got drilled by 25, whatever it was. See, this Knicks team, if they're healthy, this Knicks team could be the four seed. And if you have Mitch, and if you have McBride, and if you have, you know, a second unit that we know who the second unit will be, and everybody's ready to go, I think that this Knicks team could go to any city in the country and win a seven-game series. I really do. That even if they're the underdog, if there's an extra game on the road, if it's the championship against the Thunder, if it's up in Boston, if it's out in Cleveland, whatever. If the Sixers make a crazy trade and they get their act together down there again. But the reason you chase wins now is to bag wins to get enough wins to have the top seed. But you're not doing that. You're losing games. You shouldn't have lost
the
Bulls.
The
you shouldn't have
anyway.
Lost last. I said, not getting it.
So lay off the gas.
So lay off the minute chase.
Yeah.
It's time.
And it's not saying you don't have to at certain times ramp it up or you want to get toward the end of the regular season, push into the playoffs, start turning it up a little bit.
It's getting reckless.
Yeah.
It's getting reckless.
Yeah, because you don't need to prove anything.
Mm-hmm.
We know what you have offensively. Defensively, a different story. And even that, for that to have success, you don't need to play these guys 48 minutes every freaking night. So if they're banged up, if they're compromised in any way, lay off the gas just a little bit in the regular season. It's worth sacrificing some losses for the greater good, keeping Towns and Brunson specifically fresh for a deep, hopefully, postseason run.
Yeah, and people associate, all right, how's it going to manifest itself? Big minutes down the road in May and June, what's it going to be? Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's going to rip a hamstring like OG did. Yeah, sometimes it could be that in your face, but sometimes it could just be, slow erosion of bounce, which is not necessarily detectable from a Monday to a Tuesday, but it is detectable from April to May, April to late May. And then, you try to guard Jaylen Brown and all these studs, and you just don't quite have the pop and the burst, and you lose.
It would be, to me, unforgivable if Tibbs doesn't acknowledge that he's got to dial it back a little bit.
I agree.
With this group at this time. I think it worked in years past.
Yep.
I didn't cry about it. They have the talent now. Just play the game the way that it's supposed to be played, meaning get to the freaking postseason in one piece.
Yep.
And take your chances with that loaded offense and hopefully an improved defense.
We're on the same page with this. And when he got here and he was trying to build the culture with a bunch of, role players, we know
different
all the names,
story.
And of course Randall, you run them into the ground because they weren't long-term deals, they weren't A-list players, you just try to grind out some wins to make the playoffs, to change the culture, because you don't know. Does the culture change when you make the playoffs, or do you make the playoffs because the culture changes? And it's very hard to delineate between the two. I think for that team to make the playoffs, there was great symbolism, so I understood that. He's got to take his foot off the gas. And we're in the middle of football still.
Yep.
With the Jets hiring cycle and the Giants news yesterday. This is going to become a bigger story. The Knicks are getting run down right now.